Joshua chapter 22. As already announced, our subject for this evening is it true or just hearsay? Our text is found in verse 11. And the children of Israel heard say, there's the hearsay, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan in the borders of Jordan at the passage of the children of Israel. Is it true or is it just hearsay? The 2.5 tribes, that is the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh, had faithfully, bravely fought shoulder to shoulder with their brethren against the Canaanites for the period of 5 to 7 years. The conflict was over. The land had been conquered and the Canaanites had been defeated. Joshua had divided the land and each tribe of Israel had taken possession of their possessions. There was now nothing left to be done except to allow the 2.5 tribes to leave the field of battle, to go to their people and their possessions on the other side of Jordan, and to the land which the Lord had given to them, because you recall it was a good land for the many cattle that they had. They had been given an honorable discharge, as we noted last Sabbath evening, and their commander Joshua, by their commander Joshua, and so they make their way back to their tents and to their dwellings. Upon crossing over Jordan, we are told that the 2.5 tribes, verse 10, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. In other words, they built that altar large enough that wherever they were in their own land on the other side Jordan, they could see that altar. We're then told that while the children of Gad and the children of Reuben and the children, the half-tribe of Manasseh, built that altar for a very good reason, yet the building of that altar almost caused a civil war. For look at verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. Even though the 2.5 tribes had fought the Canaanites shoulder to shoulder with their brethren. And now those same brethren are ready to go to war against the 2.5 tribes. What had happened? Well, we discover that the building of this altar, as was said, it caused a great deal of controversy. We ask the reason why. And as we shall see, it was all a terrible misunderstanding. It had a lot to do with hearsay rather than with truth. And here we see how a misunderstanding has the potential to bring about strife and division amongst brethren and indeed amongst friends. So let us see how this all came about and how an innocent and well-meaning action could create such hostile reaction. One is first of all to consider the concern about the altar. No sooner had the 2.5 tribes constructed the altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to, then we read the news soon got back to the other tribes there in verse 11, and the children of Israel heard say, behold, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar. Here we have, first of all, the report. The report that went back to the children of Israel gathered there at Shiloh, where the tabernacle was and where the altar was. The word got back to them, the report was brought back, but notice that this report was based upon hearsay. And the children of Israel heard say. In other words, the report about the altar was based upon hearsay. Was it altogether true? Now, very clear instruction was given to Israel regarding the matter of hearsay. Would you go with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 13? Deuteronomy 13. And there we read in verse 12. If thou shalt hear say, if thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, if this is hearsay, and the news that you get tells you certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. What were they to do? Verse 14. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you. And so you can see that instruction is given with regard to hearsay, before you form any opinion, before you judge the person that you've been told about, the Lord says, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth. You need to find out, is what you have heard, is it truth? Before you form any opinion, no action was to be taken by Israel until diligent search was made as to the truth of the matter. That was good instruction. And while it was instruction given by the Lord to the children of Israel, it is instruction given by the Lord to us in this day in which we live. What damage has been done to relationships? What division has been brought about among brethren? All because men have acted rashly based on nothing more than hearsay. They have jumped to conclusions, and they have formed an opinion, and they have passed judgment upon someone based upon nothing more than hearsay. They haven't bothered to go and ask that person about what they heard about them, whether it is true or not. And they have formed an opinion and passed a judgment based on nothing more than hearsay. There you have the report. Then you have the readiness. The readiness. Verse 12. And when the children of Israel heard. There's it again. When the children of Israel heard of it. Now they have just heard of it. They haven't gone yet to Jordan to find out if it's true. And if an altar was built, why it was built. They just heard of it. The whole congregation of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them, against these men that had fought with them, against the Canaanites. And based upon hearsay, they had turned completely against them. Without knowing any facts, without knowing the truth, they were ready to go to war. They were ready. So it tells us that. To go up to war against them. There's their readiness. They had jumped to conclusions. They were talking about those who fought with them and stood with them in the battle. Verses 3 and 4. Joshua 22. And we called last week, we considered their honorable discharge. You remember Joshua praised them for their faithfulness and their loyalty to their brethren and most of all to the Lord. But here we find that their brethren were ready to go against them based on hearsay. In the book of Nehemiah, you turn please to Nehemiah. In chapter 6, we meet there a very interesting character. Not much of a character, but interesting all the same. His name is Gashmu. In all probability, the same one who's called Gershon. In Nehemiah chapter 6, we read there in verse 5. Now remember, Nehemiah's building the walls. And there are those there, Gershom, Sanballat, and Tobiah. And they had formed a league against Nehemiah, sought to hinder the work and the building of the walls. And we're told in verse 5, then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time. with an open letter in his hand. They wanted to get together with Nehemiah and try and work out a compromise, and Nehemiah said, "No, sir, there'll be no compromise. We're building the wall, and that's it. I am doing a good work, and I cannot come down." They had asked him four times. Now this is the fifth time. They sent an open letter to Nehemiah, verse 6, wherein was written, "It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words." Mark the words. Gashmu saith it. In other words, if Gashmu saith it, then it must be true. One preacher called him a man of the street, a man that knew all the business of everybody in the town. Gashmu saith it, so it must be true. And here we find that Sanballat quoted Gashmu. Gashmu saith it. Well, what Gashmu said was not true. It was not true. It was hearsay. Gashmu said that they built the wall to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. It was all hearsay. It wasn't true. It was an attempt to hinder the work of God. And when we look at Joshua, chapter 22, we see that the brethren of the 2.5 tribes were ready to wage war against the 2.5 tribes based on nothing but hearsay. What they said, as we'll see in a moment or two, what they said about the 2.5 tribes was completely wrong. They had been hurt, they had been told about the altar, and they jumped to a conclusion. And it was wrong. And it was all based on hearsay. We know how the Jews were ready to put the Lord Jesus to death because of things that were said about him and because of rumors that went about. What did they say? They said that he was a wine bibber. Said he was a drunkard. Wasn't true. They called him Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Wasn't true. They said all kinds of evil things against him, and it wasn't true. But they succeeded in leading Christ to the cross and putting him to death. And here we see that the brethren of the 2.5 tribes were ready to wage war without finding out the truth about the building of the altar. We notice then their response. Here we see that the children of Israel resolve not to send their armies at second thoughts against the 2.5 tribes. Instead, they sent their ambassadors to inquire with regard to the reason for the altar. Should have done that in the first place. But no, they formed their own opinion. They were ready to go to war. based upon hearsay. And we read in verse 13, and the children of Israel sent unto the children of Reuben, and to the children of Gad, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, into the land of Gilead, Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest, and with him 10 princes of each chief house of prince, there throughout all the tribes of Israel, and each one was an head of the house of their fathers among the thousand. And so they came to them, and they should have done this in the first place, as they were instructed to do in Deuteronomy 13, verses 12 to 14. Rather than going blindly against their brethren and to fight with them based upon hearsay. But they had not only the Lord's word that they should have followed. They should have followed the Lord's own ways. If you turn to Genesis, in chapter 18, and there in Genesis 18, we read these words in verse 20. The Lord has spoken to Abraham about what he's going to do with the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. Exactly what the Lord told Israel to do in Deuteronomy 13, the Lord did himself. Now, of course, the Lord knows all things, and he knew all about Sodom and Gomorrah. But here, he carries out his own word that he'll give later to Israel. And he heard the cry of the Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, I will go down now. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. In other words, the Lord was intimating he was going on a fact-finding mission. The Lord was really giving us an example. Find out the facts first before you form an opinion that is based on hearsay. Find out the truth. Then you can form your opinion. But whatever you do, don't form an opinion based on nothing more than hearsay. So we have considered something of the concern that was expressed about the altar. That leads us now to the confrontation about the altar. The children of Israel sent representatives, as we've already noted, to confront the 2.5 tribes about the altar, verses 13 and 14. Now notice their assumption, what they assumed. For we read in verse 15, and they came unto the children of Reuben, unto the children of Gad, unto the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake unto them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar, that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? They had gone on a fact-finding mission. But when they came to the 2.5 tribes, they had already their minds made up. Look at what they accused them of. That's some statement that they came out with. What trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? The reason for such a charge, such an assumption, was because the children at Shiloh believed that the altar had been erected at Jordan in opposition to the altar that was there at Shiloh. They had assumed that the altar had been built for the purpose of offering sacrifices to other gods. That's what they assumed. They saw the altar, they heard about the altar, and say they didn't come to any other conclusion. Oh, the 2.5 tribes, they built this altar, they're going to offer sacrifices to other gods. They have rebelled against God. So it went on. They saw this altar as a trespass against the Lord God of Israel. And they accused the 2.5 tribes of turning away from following the Lord. And they also charged the 2.5 tribes with rebelling, they said, this day against the Lord. The representatives of Israel had jumped to the wrong conclusion. None of this was true. Is there not a warning here for us all? We hear something, let's say, about somebody, about an individual, and it's only hearsay. We have no proof. We don't know whether it's true or not. It's easy to jump to conclusions. And it's easy to deform the wrong opinion of that person that you have been told about, and you don't even know if it's true or not. And in our own minds, we have condemned that person because of what we've been told. And we don't even know if it's true or not. But we have judged them as if it is true. That's what the representatives of Israel, the ambassadors of Israel, had done. David, Psalm 35, verse 11, was able to say once, "They led to my charge things that I knew not." They led to my charge things that I knew not. They accused me of doing things that I didn't know anything about. They reckoned that I was guilty of some deed or some action. And David says, I didn't even know a thing about it. And here you have the 2.5 tribes, and they have built an altar. And we'll see the real reason for the building of the altar. But they had built an altar in all innocence, and they were being accused of rebelling against the Lord. They were being accused of turning against the God of Israel. And we will see in a moment that could not have been further from the truth. And we shall see just how wrong these ambassadors, representatives of Israel, were. Would it not have been better if they were going to see the 2.5 tribes? Would it not have been better to have gone and simply asked the reason for the building of the altar? But they didn't do that. Instead of going and asking, they went and accused them. Before they had heard a word from the 2.5 tribes, before they had received an explanation for the building of the altar, they had already formed their own opinion, and they accused the 2.5 tribes of committing a sin against God and rebelling against the Lord. It's all too familiar, isn't it? We meet with it often. In James chapter 1, first chapter of James, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Mark those words. James said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, he's making this loving appeal, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. My, isn't it a pity that the representatives of Israel had not followed that advice had they known it in their day? They had gone with a preconceived notion. 2.5 tribes, they're rebelling against God. They should have been ready to hear. They should have been slow to speak. Instead, they got it the other way round. They were swift to speak and slow to hear. They should have simply asked the reason for the building of the... But no, they didn't. They formed their opinion and they condemned the 2.5 tribes without hearing the reason for the altar. So let us not be ready to accuse someone of wrongdoing based on hearsay. We have a saying back in Ulster, say nothing till you hear the right way of it. And that is good advice. Say nothing till you hear the right way of it. And it would have been better for the representatives of Israel to have said nothing until they heard the right way of it. But they said too much. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The camp of Israel was ready to wage civil war. They were not slow to wrath. The anger had built up in them based on hearsay, as well as their assumption. They make mention of their affliction. Eliezer and the others with him made reference to a time when Israel was afflicted because of her apostasy. Again, Joshua 22 and verse 17. Now, they've accused the 2.5 tribes of turning away from following the Lord, of rebelling against God, of insulting the God of heaven. And then they said in verse 17, this iniquity is the iniquity of Peor too little for us? What were they referring to? The iniquity of Peor. Turn to Numbers, chapter 25. For there in Numbers 25, we learn about Peor and what it's all about. For in Numbers 25, in verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now look at verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. In other words, because the children of Israel had joined themselves unto Baal Peor and worshipped a false god and offered sacrifices to a false god, we are told the Lord's anger was kindled against them and he smote 24,000 of them. That's what the representatives of Israel was referring to when they said to the 2.5 tribes, is the iniquity of Peor too little for us? They're saying to the 2.5 tribes, what about what happened when our forefathers worshipped other gods? You remember what happened at Peor. They were saying to the 2.5 tribes, is that nothing to you? You're going out and you built this altar and you're going to worship other gods and you're going to offer sacrifices. Do you not remember what happened at Peor? Because of their idolatry, Israel suffered a great loss of life. And the children of Israel were afraid the same thing would happen again. The representatives charged the 2.5 tribes with forgetting and treating lightly what had happened because of Baal Peor. See how the charges were built up and one upon another, and it was all wrong. They got it completely wrong. And you'll notice verse 18. The representatives again, speaking to the 2.5 tribes, said, but that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be. It will be. This is what's going to happen, they said. Seeing ye rebel today against the Lord, that tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. And they were saying to the 2.5 tribes, because you've turned away from the Lord, because you've rebelled, because you've built this altar to offer sacrifices to your God, God is going to be angry with us. And what happened at Baal Peor is going to happen to us again. It's all your fault. How their imagination ran away with them without knowing the truth, without even asking. They formed their own opinion, come to their own conclusion, accused the 2.5 tribes of doing terrible things. They were completely wrong. James has said in his epistle, chapter 3, verse 5, "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." This thing had got blown out of all proportion over a little matter of the building of an altar. May we learn, let us all learn from this portion of Scripture tonight, and may we be slow to attribute blame without knowing the truth. Let us not assume anything. Let us not accuse anyone till we have found out the truth. That leads us to their appeal. In verse 19, notwithstanding, it's as if the ambassadors had sort of cooled down somewhat. They had accused the 2.5 tribes of all kinds of evil. Now they've sort of cooled down a bit. And we read in verse 19, "Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth." In other words, they're saying, in a more conciliatory voice and attitude, they're saying to the 2.5 tribes, look, if you find your land's not good, if you find it is unclean, come over and join us. We'll make room for you. Come over and join us where the altar is at Shiloh, and you can worship with us there. They make this appeal. Now, whenever the representatives of Israel approached the 2.5 tribes, what they said to them is found in verses 16 through to verse 20. And they accused them of all kinds of evil. I wonder how they truly felt as they stood there and listened to these accusations. Were they angry at being falsely accused? Well, if they were, this appeal by the representatives and saying to them, look, why not come over and join us? Reminds me of the words of Solomon. And Solomon said in Proverbs 15, verse 1, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." And these were grievous words. And really, the 2.5 tribes had every right to be angry because of what they had been accused of doing. The word soft, soft answer, turneth away wrath. The word soft may be rendered tender. And undoubtedly this was a tender appeal made to the 2.5 tribes. The reason why it was made, we see that it was an attempt to keep the unity of the brethren. They were saying, you don't need to go over Jordan. Just stay here with us. We'll make room for you. And you can worship with us at Shiloh. Something which we can apply to ourselves. As Paul told the Ephesian believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. Ephesians 4, verse 3. The word endeavoring means to make haste, to make speed. And so we should always make haste and not be slow to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We should never allow, if we have a difference with someone, we should never allow that difference to go on and on and on and fester and until it becomes a great chasm. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The matter should be sorted out before the end of the day, before the sun goes down at the end of the day. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Notice in the last place then, we have considered the concern over the altar, the confrontation about the altar. Now the confession regarding the altar. We have heard much and read much of what the representatives, the ambassadors of Israel, had to say. And we haven't heard a word from the 2.5 tribes until now. Now it's their turn. Now it's their turn to speak. Now it's their opportunity to give their answer to all the misunderstandings and the accusations that were based on hearsay. And what did they say? Look at the very first words they spoke. Remember what the 2.5 tribes were being accused of? They were being accused of turning away from God. They were being accused of rebelling against God. They were accused of building the altar that they might offer sacrifices unto other gods. And we notice in verse 21, it's their turn to speak. And we notice what they said. Then the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, of the half-tribe of Manasseh, answered and said unto the heads of the thousands of Israel, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. There they declared their belief. Far from turning away from God, they declare their belief. They said, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth. He knoweth the reason why we built the altar. And if he looks upon us and sees it as an act of transgression and rebellion, then they said, save us not this day. Let God deal with us today and strike us down today. They declared their belief. Those words, the Lord God of gods, the Lord God of gods, those words literally may be rendered, the God of gods, Jehovah. The God of gods, Jehovah, he knows. So far from rebelling against God, they worshipped God. They said, Jehovah is our God. There you have their declaration, their confession of faith. We see just how wrong then the representatives of Israel were. Their declaration, their denial. If it be in rebellion or if in transgression against the Lord, save us not this day. In other words, that God deal with us. We worship Him. He's our God. He's the God, the Lord God Jehovah. See? They were completely wrong about what they said about the 2.5 tribes. That's their belief. Then you have the building. Now we come to the crux of the matter. Now we come to the reason for the building of the altar. It was their turn to explain it. Verse 24 and 25. And if we have not rather done it for fear of this thing, saying, in time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have we ye to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben, children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. What we have here, what they were simply saying, was we built the altar. Like the altar at Shiloh. To let your children and our children and our children's children know we are together. It would be a symbol of unity. That's what they're saying. It's a symbol of unity between those on the one side of Jordan and we who are on the other. That was the very opposite to what the 2.5 tribes were being accused of doing. And they were not for worshiping. Or rather, they were not for burning sacrifices and offerings on that altar. There's no way they would have done that. As we read in verse 26, therefore we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, not for burnt offering, nor for sacrifices, but it may be a witness between us and you, and our generations after us, that we might do the service of the Lord before Him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices and with our peace offerings, that our children may not say to our children in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. In other words, their offerings and their sacrifices would be offered to the Lord at Shiloh. They built the altar on the other side of Jordan as a witness between thee and us. See what happened. Without going into that any further, the lesson is, and the point is, the representatives of the congregation of Israel were completely wrong. Completely wrong. And what they accused the 2.5 tribes of. All based on hearsay. They formed an opinion. They brought down a judgment upon the 2.5 tribes without knowing the facts, without knowing the truth. And they had built the altar as a witness between Israel on one side of Jordan and the 2.5 tribes on the other. How wrong could they be? And how wrong may we be by forming an opinion, passing a judgment, condemning someone based upon nothing more than hearsay. And you look in the last verse, verse 33, and the thing pleased the children of Israel. When they had given their explanation, it pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. Verse 34, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. The altar was a witness that the Lord is God. And those who represented Israel, and indeed the camp of Israel, were completely wrong. Is it truth? Or is it just hearsay? We need to find the truth first before we form an opinion and pass judgment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, our God and loving Father, we bless Thee for the teaching of Thy Word, that we can apply, Lord, to our own lives. May indeed, O God, that we will be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. O Lord God, I pray, when nothing more than hearsay comes to our ears, O Lord, may we be slow to speak and slow to wrath. O Lord, we know that as God's people, we should only be interested in truth. So, Lord, write this holy word upon our hearts tonight. Lead us on with Thyself and give us a heart like Thine. Bless us, Lord, as we part the one from the other, and grant us each one traveling mercy. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.